Let us pray. Almighty God, we are grateful for a love that is never ending, a love that you give to us each and every day. And we ask in Jesus' name that as you continue to love us, and as we continue to worship you, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would cause us to hear your still, small voice. And Lord, God, we ask in Jesus' name that you would bless us in this time of worship. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my Savior. Amen. If you would like to pull out your sheet in your bulletin, on one side it's got sermon notes that you can follow along with. On the other side, it has weekly devotions that I encourage you to go through during the course of this week. At some level in the devotions, you can just simply read the verse, or you can follow along and do some of the journaling that goes along with it. Now, over the course of this series, we've been looking at some of the things Jesus, in his own word, reveals about himself, who he really is. And he comes to these words using two words, I am. I am. And in the course of his life, John the disciple captures for us seven I am statements that Jesus makes to them and others. And Jesus says, I am the gate and the true shepherd of the sheep. No one, the one who protects and defends us. He says, I am the light of the world, and in him there is no darkness. And in following Jesus, he will light our way so that we don't walk in darkness. By residing in the light ourselves, the darkness must flee from us, which I think is great news. Jesus also says, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life, the one who nourishes and feeds us spiritually, that we might grow in the likeness of Jesus. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus claims to be the only way to God the Father. There is no other way. And although this lends to the understanding that Jesus claims to be the only way, that Jesus is the exclusive way, we learned last week that all religions have an exclusive claim. The only difference is Jesus is the only leader to have risen from the dead and remain alive. Now, I was talking to the kids about the branches we find on the ground and how they're no longer sometimes connected to the tree, and because of that, they won't have life in it. They'll be in a state of dying or death, and they will come to a place where they're no longer alive. These branches can bear no kind of fruit. And we could tell this as the leaves on it will become dead, brittle, and falling off. There's simply no life. When we look at this morning's scripture, Jesus is speaking in terms of a vine and branches and how the gardener tends to the branches. Read it with me. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Of course, in this, Jesus refers to himself as what? The vine. Jesus refers to himself as the vine. The gardener is referring to whom? God the Father. And the branch refers to whom? Us, people, you and me. And the purpose of what Jesus is saying here is threefold. One, remain attached to the vine. Remain attached to the vine, which gives us life. Know that Jesus isn't here to dampen your life. Ah, you believe in Jesus? Ah, too bad. Man, what a boring life you're going to have. No, Jesus isn't here to dampen your life, but to give you the best, the true life that we were meant to live, a life of peace, a life of patience, the fruit of the Spirit, plus eternity, plus a relationship with God the Father. One, we need to remain attached to the vine, which gives us life. Two, know that you will be pruned. Know that you will be pruned so that you will be more what? Fruitful. You sometimes have to give up something which may seem good at the time in order to gain something that is best or eternal. Often to gain time with God, you must give up time with something else. Lives are busy. To gain time with God, you must be in the Word of God more often than just on Sunday morning, which for many is their starting point with Scripture. Church is the starting point for many people for being in the Word of God. That's why we encourage you to invite people so that they might worship God, that they might hear God's Word. God may want you to stop some things in your life that are not life-giving so that you can obtain that which is life-giving. Three, our purpose. Our purpose is to bear fruit in our lives to the glory of us, right? Oh, please. To God's glory, that's right. Our purpose is to bear fruit in our lives for the glory of God. Not our glory, but for God's glory. The types of fruit are both internal and external. External fruit is helping those who are around us, others, to advance into and in the kingdom of God so that they might have a relationship with God for themselves. But there's the internal fruit too, developing a deeper and deeper relationship with God. That's our internal fruit. So that God may live in us and give us true life. And that inward fruit then helps us to bear outward fruit. It's hard to be joyful on the outside when all you hear on the inside is negative self-talk. It's hard to be grateful for others if you're not grateful for yourself or what God is doing in your own life. And it's hard to be patient with others if you're not patient with yourself. When you're attached to the vine, understand that when God prunes your life, understand that when you begin to bear fruit, both internal and external, we sometimes think this journey is just too difficult. But we endure. But we endure so that we can be closer to God, so that we can be more free from temptation and sin, so that we can become more like Jesus in our thinking and in our doing. When I think of a fruitful Christian, I think of Billy Graham. We tend to think of how godly the man was. He had a way of preaching and letting you know that you were not only loved by God, but that to truly live, you needed to make a choice to follow Jesus, whom thousands, maybe tens of thousands of people did. That's who I think of when I think of one of those fruitful Christians. In one of the documentaries on Billy that have been on over the course of the last couple of weeks, it went back to when he was in high school. He was a typical kid, athletic. He grew up on a farm, and he was interested in two things, sports and girls. Sports and girls. He didn't really want to have anything to do with God or the church, although he would go to church. But then an evangelist came into town and Billy eventually went to check him out. There were some things that really caught his ear the first time he went, and he decided to go back again. And then as he went back again, God began to speak to him. And he would go back another night. And on one of those nights, it all came together, where Jesus was no longer just stories from a Bible, where the Bible was no longer just this old book that people turned to, where Jesus became the way, the truth, and the life in Billy's life. So Billy asked Jesus to be his Savior. And it changed his life. And as Billy would say countless other times through the years, he will change your life too. And as Billy and countless others have been grafting themselves into this life-giving vine of Jesus, they have found peace. They have found joy. They have begun to bear fruit inside. and outside their lives. But the real secret in many Christians who don't experience life in an ongoing way is that they're not attached to the vine all the time. They come on Sunday mornings and they're attached for an hour or two. And then they go home and it's almost like taking your coat off and putting it on a hook. Or better said, taking your Bible and putting it on a shelf until you go to church the next week. The real secret is that they don't like to be pruned by God. God says, you know what? Maybe this would be better in your life than that. And we decide to reject that. We refuse to be pruned. And so we don't bear that inner fruit. We don't bear that external fruit, which God is seeking for us to do. I think the real secret is here. Read it with me. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. The secret is in remaining in Jesus. Remaining in Jesus the vine at all times. At all times. We look back in awe at Billy Graham's life and at his godliness. But you know what? Billy Graham had some struggles too. He really did. One of the statements he made was how he felt utterly unworthy. Utterly unworthy to be someone whom people would come to listen to. Come to listen to. Who am I that people would do that? I'm just a simple farmer's son. There seemed to be an internal dialogue going on in him, questioning his worth. Yet he chose to remain in the vine. Listen to this other story where he chose to remain in the vine. It's back in 1949 as we approach the Los Angeles Crusade, that crusade in Los Angeles that would propel him onto the national scene. Let me read this for you. As president of Northwestern Schools, Graham was invited to speak at the college briefing conference. Also speaking was his good friend and fellow evangelist, Chuck Templeton, whose views on the authority of Scripture were quickly changing. Not for the first time, Templeton challenged Mr. Graham. Billy, you're 50 years out of date. People no longer accept the Bible as being inspired the way you do. Your faith is, get this, too simple. Your faith is too simple. Alone in his room that night, Mr. Graham studied the Scriptures profusely. Billy goes on to write in his biography, Just As I Am, I had no doubt concerning the deity of Jesus Christ or the validity of the gospel. But was the Bible completely true? Was the Bible completely true? With the Los Angeles campaign galloping toward me, I had to have an answer. If I could not trust the Bible, I could not go on. I would have to quit the school presidency. I would have to leave pulpit evangelism. He continues to write, his heart heavy, he went for a walk. The moon was out and the shadows were long in the San Bernardino Mountains surrounding the retreat center. Dropping to his knees in the woods, he opened the Bible at random on a tree stump in front of him. Oh God, he prayed. There are many things in this book I do not understand, and I think we can all pray that too. There are some areas in it that do not seem to correlate with modern science. People are still struggling with that today. He paused and then continued, Father, I'm going to accept this as your word. By faith. I'm going to allow faith to go beyond my intellectual questions and doubts, and I will believe this to be your inspired word. When he stood up from his knees that August night, his eyes stung with tears. Now listen to the result that he experienced. He said, I sensed the presence and power of God as I had not sensed it in months. Not all my questions were answered, but But I knew a spiritual battle in my soul had been fought and won. Billy determined that he was to remain on the vine in his understanding of the Bible as God's inspired word. And as we look back in hindsight, his faithfulness to God and God's word, that is, his willingness to remain steadfastly grafted into the vine, propelled his ministry to bear more fruit, more than he could ever have hoped or imagined in this lifetime. We can go back and look at the disciples' lives and how they were utterly changed by Jesus. All of them, but one, would die a martyr's death, remaining grafted always to the vine. Would you? Some disciples died by stoning, others through various forms of execution. Peter was hung upside down on the cross because he didn't consider himself worthy to be hung like Jesus had been hung. Just remember that they died rather than recanting their belief in Jesus and or their understanding that he was God. They remained in the vine. Their understanding that he was God in the flesh, God with us, the one true vine, the Savior of the world. When Jesus says, "Remain in me as I also remain in you," he's not kidding. If you want to live a victorious life, you must remain in him. And he says he will remain in you. When he says no branch can bear fruit by itself, it must remain in the branch. He's saying the power to bear fruit in your life, both internal and external, do not come from self-help books or groups. It comes by allowing my power to flow in and through you, through the branch or through the vine. When he says, "Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me," he's letting us know that to experience the true and wonderful, the powerful Christian life, to help others in this life, can only happen by remaining in him. Fruit farmers have long known, and my guess, long before Christ knew, that some trees flourish while others do not. These twigs would be taken from trees whose root systems were fragile, prone to disease and not hardy enough to last very long where they were planted. So farmers would take twigs from these preferred trees in the late winter, and they call them scions now, and they would cut them from the original tree, removing them from a tree with a weak root system, and then they would water them and prepare them to be grafted to a new tree. For the new tree, it would begin to spring and bloom, this new tree. It would need to be cut about 2, maybe 3 feet from the ground, maybe keeping some of the lower branches with leaves that are already beginning to bloom. It reminds me of the pain and suffering, that cutting of that firm tree, that good, they call it tree stock. It reminds me of the pain and suffering that Jesus experienced in order for us to be grafted into the kingdom of God. The main branch coming from the root would be cut in such a way as to receive new scions, twigs, the twigs that would also need, these twigs would also need to be trimmed down on both sides. It would be, if I could demonstrate, a round twig, and you would cut one side down, and then you flip it over and cut that other side down so it would be a flat piece, like an ice cream bar stick. And then you'd peel back the branch on the rootstock, and you would put that tree in there, and then you would bind it together. One guy put glue on the top so no water could get into it and damage it, so it would have time to grow firm and take hold. The purpose of that is so that the cells from the twig and the cells from the tree stock would touch, so that sap-giving life could come up from the root system and flow into this new twig, so that it could begin to bloom, and in a few weeks, leaves would appear on it. And then in a few months, maybe years, fruit would begin to be born into that once could have been considered dead twig. Now, fruit, by remaining in Jesus, is an individual thing. One must experience it for themselves. In Billy Graham's life, he had a son, Franklin Graham, his oldest son, and he wrote a book called Rebel with a Cause. And in it, he talked about having this famous dad living under the weight of an expectation of being Billy Graham's son, trying to find his own way in life. For me, one of the most telling things to come was that he needed to come to a point where instead of his faith being based off of Billy's, his dad, instead of trying to graft himself onto his dad, he himself realized that he needed to be grafted into the true vine. We all need to be grafted and to remain grafted into Jesus. Our parents' faith will take us only so far. And unless we are willing to be pruned down and to be grafted into the vine, we will not experience the life God has for us. Friends, maybe you remember a time in your life where you were grafted yourself into the true vine of Jesus. And I praise God for that. I praise God for you. And maybe for some of you, there wasn't a specific time that you can remember when you were grafted into the vine. You just always remember being with Jesus, but you continue to grow and grow. And I praise God for you. If you're experiencing internal fruit and external fruit in your life, then I say praise God. Can you say praise God? But if you find yourself not experiencing the life-flowing power of Jesus in your life, not experiencing the fruit of peace and joy in being attached to Jesus the Savior, not bearing fruit in your life or helping others to bear fruit in your life, let me remind you that God is a God of grace that extends far and wide to meet us where we're at. Let me encourage you maybe to trim some of the unnecessary twigs or branches in your life, or to attach yourself more deeply into the true vine, the life-giving vine, the Savior of the world. You can do that. You don't have to remain where you're at and call it good. God has so much more for us. Take a moment now and just close your eyes. Just close your eyes. And in your mind's eye, see yourself at the edge of a crowd as they're moving toward a single man, as they listen to this young rabbi named Jesus. Do you see yourself? As they listen to Jesus say these words to them, you are there too. You're there hungry to know this man, to hear these powerful words. And then Jesus says, I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Thank you, Father, for sending Jesus, that we could be grafted into the true vine, so that we could experience life here and now, so that we could bear fruit that could not be born without you. Lord, we give thanks for your amazing grace, which gives us chance after chance after chance to continue to be more grafted into you. God, we ask in Jesus' name that whatever it is that keeps us from you, Lord, that we would see it as unfruitful. Lord, that you would bring us to that place where we could remove it so that we could have more of you in our life, more of your power. And God, we ask in Jesus' name. That you would draw us to yourself. Lord, that you would change our lives. And Lord, that you would be glorified. In Jesus' holy and precious name, and all God's people said, Amen. Amen.